So the writer of the book of Isaiah in chapter 54, he says, sing, oh barren Aka, you who did not bear, because God is about to recreate something again. I make a declaration today over your life. May there be a divine enablement that recreates things that are not there.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Today, I want to talk on the subject of Christmas, a season of supernatural enablement. A season of supernatural what? So whilst you have the trees up and all that, I want you to focus on how God, during this season, was supernaturally enabling, supernaturally empowering people for them to do something that naturally they could not do. And we are trusting the Lord that he would empower you today. Your amen is weak. I said, I'm trusting God that he would empower you today so that you can do some things that you naturally have not been wired to do. Supernatural enablement. Let's try and understand it. Supernatural enablement is occurring when God steps into your life and he empowers or he mantles you with abilities that are not part of your natural things. You see, some of us, we know what our natural abilities are. But when God steps into your life and he enables you, he gives you something that moves beyond the natural. He never bypasses your natural abilities. He simply just multiplies it. He does something in your life that takes that to the next stage. Supernatural enablement, secondly, happens when God comes alongside you and multiplies your natural efforts. Everyone say natural efforts. You know how sometimes we do things and we get to a point and we are not having a breakthrough or an answer, so then we get tired and we give up. Today, I want to remind you, don't stop what you're doing. Keep working, keep sowing, keep moving, keep working. Because one day God will step into your life and he will give you the enablement. He will cause things to begin to happen. And you said, no, I did this. How come so many things that happened? Because he stepped in and he multiplied it. Are you understanding me? Thirdly, supernatural enablement is simply this. Is occurring when God quickens your natural body. Oh, bless his name. I said, when God quickens your natural body, I'm not talking about spiritual things here. I'm talking about your natural body, this body of yours. And today, I am believing God that some of you that have chronic issues, high blood pressure, diabetes, your A1C, whatever C is not working right, that God in this season can quicken your natural body. He will enable it to do what it is not able to do. Are you hearing me today? Anybody about to release your faith for something to take place? You see, let me show you something. There is something in the scriptures when you study, it is called, what would be a better way to put it so that it doesn't. Okay, let me describe it and not give you a theological term. But it has to do with, in the sense when a word is proclaimed, how you receive it matters. I said, how you receive it, what? Matters. In that instant, you can release your faith to receive it in the now, and it takes place. I know not all of us are emotional. Some of us have been wired to be calm. Other people, they've been wired to be loud. But either way, you have to receive it. That in the moments when I'm decreeing it, because sometimes I'm not preaching it, I am prophesying it. And when I decree it, I'll need you to stand and say, I receive it in Jesus' name. That my body is responding to the things that God wants it to receive. Today, may God empower your natural body. Kick it, stir it, move it to do the things that God wants it to do. Even though the doctors may have said this is over, it ain't over because God said it. I can feel somebody's knees working. I can sense that somebody's lungs is being stirred up. Something is taking place. Divine enablement. You know, oh, I'll wait when I go home. I tried. No. This is why it is important to sit physically when a word is being preached, because a lot takes place in that moment. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So today, we are going to believe God for divine enablement. We are going to believe God for divine what? Enablement. Now, everybody listen very carefully to me. This is not part of my notes, but it drops into my spirit to push it in, and I want you to understand something. There is the gospel of salvation. But then there's also the gospel of the kingdom. Then the Bible say that, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. In the gospel of salvation, you are a sinner who needs a savior. But once you have received that gospel and got born again, you must move from the gospel of salvation, keep it in contest, and become a king. Kings are not peasants. Kings are not sinners. This is why you should not keep sinning. It should not become a habit. It may happen because many believers don't understand that in the gospel of the kingdom, we are reigning as kings. So that when we declare, things take place. Today I pray that God will enable you. You are moving from the place of mere mortal into a place where you understand, I am a king. I am a child of the king. When I decree a matter, it shall be established. Are you understanding me? Christians have done so well teaching us the gospel of salvation, but we have not taught people the gospel of the kingdom, where we are kings and kings reign. Raise your right hand and say this after me. I am a king. I know, ladies, you want me to say queen, but whatever it is, you are in the kingdom. I am a king, and I make decrees, and it shall come to pass. Amen and amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. When we look at a Christmas story, there are two women, Elizabeth and Mary, who were enabled supernaturally to do something their bodies couldn't do. This is why I said somebody must believe God for healing today. Amen. I don't care what the doctors think. The doctors concerning me have been disproved before, so I know God can disprove them again. These two women became pregnant supernaturally. One was tested, Elizabeth. The other was untested. One was old and barren. The other was young and a virgin. But in spite of the different circumstances, God steps in. Please listen very carefully to me. If somebody is old and barren, don't you think that that is the person who needs the spectacular? But God didn't do that. He used the usual normal way by stirring her body for her to be able to give birth. Meanwhile, the one who was a virgin and young, who has the ability to do it, God says, no, I will bypass that means. Oh, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He says, but this one, I will do it another way. Don't ever put God in a box, because he comes to do something and he does it in his own way. These two women, I want us to discuss them this morning. Are you ready to go? All right, let's begin with Elizabeth. Let's pick up her story from the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And we'll be reading some verses. Before we do that, I want to explain something very carefully to you. Throughout the Bible, there are several women who were barren. The word barren was often used in respect to women who could not give birth, or sometimes it was used in reference to a land. Amen? You hear that the land is barren because it could not what? Produce. But when we are talking about human beings, which is the context in which we are operating today, there are two Hebrew words and one Greek word I want us to take a look at. I don't want to bypass it because it is important to our lesson. The first word we find, which is translated as barren, is the word shakal. He says, none will miscarry among you. And this is a word that is used in the context that this womb cannot hold a baby. That it was able to take the seed, but it loses it. And the scripture calls it barren. Why? Because it cannot produce the final product. Are you with me? The second one that we find also is a Hebrew word, is the word akar. The word akar means destruction or removal of generative organs. When the scripture said Sarah, Rebecca, and Samson's mom were barren, this is the word that was used. In other words, God was saying, akar simply means this woman is as if has done, did they call it hysterectomy? Removed everything. It is as if that this person has removed everything that is capable of them and generating a baby. God says, such people, I am capable. You didn't get it. He said, I am what? Capable. Because if he made it in the first place, he can recreate it. So the writer of the book of Isaiah in chapter 54, he says, sing, oh barren akar, you who did not bear, because God is about to recreate something again. I make a declaration today over your life. May there be a divine enablement that recreates things that are not there. He's going to bring it back to pass. Things that are not there, he will recreate them. The third word is in the New Testament. If it's in the New Testament, it's not Hebrew, it's Greek. All right, is the word steros. And that relates to the woman we are talking about, Elizabeth. It means sterile. Normally we use sterility for men, not for women. It also means stiff, unnatural. So when the Bible says God enabled Elizabeth to give birth, you will notice for her, the generative organs were still in there. But they were stiff. They were not in a position to produce. And God comes alongside and he quickens without in mind. Luke chapter 1, 5 to 15. Let's read. Please forgive me. Today I read King James. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, please. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. I need you to take note of verse 6, because sometimes we make it sound like if you are worshiping God and you are serving God and everything you are doing is spiritual, you'd never have a problem. It's a lie. Don't let Satan put that to your head, because the things we experience right here on earth is going to stop one day when we stand before the King of Kings. Barrenness will not be there. We only struggle about barrenness in the here and now. But there, it is not there. How many children did Jesus have? I said to a couple who were crying over the fact that because they have not had a child after they got married, to the point that they were leaving the Christian faith for something else. And I said, the master we followed had no wife and had no children. How many of you know that your spouse can make you go to hell? Come on. Am I right? But if you were single, you'd be fine. You are sleeping on the same bed, but you hit them. May God help us. Let's do verse 7. And they had no children, the people who were righteous and blameless. And they had no... Don't let nobody tell you that because you are a child of God, you will not experience issues. Issues would always be there. But the idea that I have trouble, but I still have peace on the inside is what disturbs Satan. How in the world that I can trouble them so much, but they are still happy? The Bible says they whipped the apostles. They went back rejoicing. I pray that the church today, Christians today, will understand this truth. Little problem, I'm not going to church. Little problem, I won't talk to this person. It is time to stop being a whiner and start telling yourself, we belong to the army of God. Righteous and blameless, but they did not have a child. And by the way, the Bible says it was for many years. Did they live in a desert? No. They live in a community. So were there people talking about them? Yes. Can you believe that the husband was a priest like me? They come to church and he said, let's pray for those who need a baby. And then there are people who sit there and said, pray for your... I want you to see the picture. When you read the scriptures, take your time and understand. But the Bible said that man kept seven, kept seven, kept seven, until one day an angel of the Lord shows up at the prayer meeting and he says, your prayer has been heard. Today we make that declaration. Child of God, righteous and blameless. It doesn't matter what is happening. You are still the child of the living God. Stay in him and walk in him. Because the things we struggle about is only here. When you open your eyes on the other side, they don't matter. Why are you making permanent decisions based on things that are temporary? Styras was this woman. God says, I see that your organs are stiff and unnatural. Please think seriously about it. How can a woman's generative organs be unnatural? The actual word here is that it's like it's frozen. Something must unfreeze it. And God says, the time has come. The time has come. The time has come. The time has come. I decree that over somebody today. The time has come. The time has come. That which is frozen will be unfrozen for it to do what it's supposed to do. May God cause these things begin to take place. Blameless, righteous, but had no baby. Modern people, listen. We make it say, and sometimes the problem is not the Christians. I think it's us pastors. Because we make it sound like whenever you serve God, everything goes easy and rosy. This morning we're driving to the church and I told my wife, one of these days, I think that I will hand over this work to you and I will start traveling. She said, huh? And I said, yeah. Why? Because she sees what is on my mind every day. One of my kids asked me this morning when I was ironing. I was showing them that, no, your shirt was not ironed right, so let's do it this way. And he says, Dad, you seem to be somewhere else. And I said, I am a father, I am a husband, and then I'm a pastor. So there is something always on my mind. No, I'm not complaining. Because one day when I stand before him, I'm going to be a happy man. And I pray that you will be. Amen. Blameless. Righteous, but got no kid. Don't have a car, it's not a basis to cry. You got no man, forget. Sometimes men are trouble. Women are too. Right? I want you to look at Jehovah and say, God, I am going to walk with you. No matter the things that are happening, you have had a marriage and there is no child. It is not time to give up on him. The man was seven in spite of his issues. Verse 8, Luke chapter 1. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." What a message. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness." Thou shalt have what? And gladness. "And many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Number one, please write it down. Elizabeth exemplified to us those who have been married many years and are looking for a child. Anybody in this congregation who is looking for a child, you are in the right season. Amen. The season where God can come in, take the frozen, the unnatural generative organs. It's both ways. The man may also be sterile, and God is about to empower. Amen. And enable. So this evening when you get home, get to work. Secondly, Elizabeth exemplifies to us those who have tried many times but have failed. Because can you believe how many times they tried? If it was today, we'll go in vitro. But they kept trying and they kept failing. Everybody turn your Bible. Let's go back to the book of Luke. This time I want you to look at verse 36. Thirdly, Elizabeth exemplified to us those who have been tagged as failures because they have tried many times and failed. Are you in Luke chapter 1? Look at verse 36, please. If you can read that with me, that would be great. Shall we? Read. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called." So you see, people called her names. They gave her a status. I can see family members telling the husbands, "Your wife is barren. Let's get you a second wife." She was tagged as barren. It's interesting how human beings, we don't make human beings, but we can tag people as something else. But Elizabeth exemplifies to us as those who have received a tagging from society. But today, I am believing God. Today, I am believing God. I said, today, I am believing God. That he will supernaturally cause. Everybody rise on your feet, and I'm going to begin to declare. Father, we pray that every barren, every sterile couple on both sides, Lord, we are decreeing, oh God, today, in the name, come on, everyone, lift your voice and begin to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we are calling that in the place. Divine enablement in the name of Jesus. We call that into place now. All right, let's be seated. Finally, Elizabeth exemplifies to us how God enables our natural effort. God enables what? Our natural effort. I can see Zechariah and Elizabeth go home after church. And Elizabeth is a little bit sad. And Zechariah comes around and put his hands around her and says, "Honey, it is well. One day God will come through." And then she turns around and looks at him and said, "When? When? Don't you think we should change churches? Because maybe you are not anointed enough, or God is not in that place." Until one day, they were not even expecting. God shows up. If the righteous will stay righteous, if the blameless will stay blameless, if those who are seeking God will continue to seek God, one day your God will come through for you. He will what? Come through for you. And the scripture teaches us that Elizabeth was enabled by God. Maybe you are here and you are not after a baby. Maybe you don't need. So, Pastor, this message doesn't apply to me. No, it does. It does in the sense that for every natural effort you make, God can cause something to happen in your life. Amen. The problem is that we get discouraged and we stop moving. We get discouraged and we stop acting. There are many things that discourages me in life. But I take the discouragement for about a minute or two and I tell myself, no, I ain't giving in to that, because my God can do anything. Amen. When you read Hebrews chapter 11 about the heroes and the heroines of faith, did the Bible say all of them received? No. He said some were still looking, but they were still what? Believing. Today we have made it look like as long as you are looking, you have to receive. Sometimes God does it for you. Sometimes he chooses not to do it for you. I have seen where we have prayed for people to be healed and they have been healed. And I've seen people we have prayed for to be healed and they died. Your responsibility is to talk to God. How he does it is none of our business. But whether he does it or he does not do it, he is still God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And Elizabeth says, I will continue to try. So Zechariah comes, he says, it's going to be all right one day. Let's keep trying. Let's keep working. Somebody is here today. Maybe you are believing God to put down money to buy a house. But as soon as you save enough, your car breaks down. So you end up using the money. Anybody here like that? You are trusting God for some things to take place. Maybe you want to get in shape, but you try and it does. But whatever it is, keep trying, keep working, keep moving, keep sowing, because one of these days, God will step in the midst of it. Look at your faithfulness and keep working, and he will enable you, and you will see a breakthrough. Are you understanding me? Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. I want us to look at a few scriptures we're trying to apply. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Let's look at the 11th verse. If you can read that with me, that would be great. Please, shall we? He says, Solomon is speaking here. He has made several of his observations in life, and he's speaking it, and it's true. He says, I read and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Now, the race is not to the swift. What in the world are you saying? If you put the days of Usain Bolt, if you put Usain Bolt at the start of the 100-meter race, if you put the two of us there, and you ask us to start running, who do you expect to win? Usain Bolt. Why? Because for us, the race is to the swiftest person, the fastest person. But Solomon says, I have looked at life. I have checked it out. And I realized that not all the people who are the fastest always win. Sometimes the slow people. If I tell you a tortoise can overtake a horse, you will say that is not possible. He says time and chance happen until you understand the essence of time. In the Greek, the word time is translated in two ways. One is the word chronos, or chronological time, from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. is chronological. Oh, we are in 2022. We are going to go into 2023. That is the time you and I live in. The other one is the word kairos, What it means is an epoch of time or an appointed time. God lives in that time. He doesn't count January and February. But when he says something will take place at this time or at that time, we cannot measure it. But when the moment comes, it will take place.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.